Well, Bob Baffert did it. That is still up for debate. There is some controversy still surrounding Medina Spirit, to say the least. He returned to the races last month and won the Shared Belief at Del Mar and was entered in today's Grade 1 Pennsylvania Derby. However, on Tuesday, trainer Bob Baffert announced he would scratch and instead point for the Awesome Again Stakes against older horses on October 2nd, next weekend at Santa Anita. And with that, I welcome you to this week's edition of I Ask, They Answer. I am Mike Penna, and I'm joined now by trainer Dale Romans and turf writer Tim Wilkin. And guys, let's start there. I'm hoping that maybe you can clear this up a little bit. When entries were taken on Monday, Medina Spirit drew post 9, right next to his top rivals, Hot Rod Charlie and Midnight Bourbon. At that time, Bob Baffert was quoted as saying, "Once they draw, we don't worry about it. The break is important no matter what post they have." Then on Tuesday, one day later, Baffert announced the scratch of Medina Spirit, saying, "I want to do what's best for the horse. I don't like the way he drew." So, Dale, I'll start with you. What gives?
Well, it's not the first time Bob's contradicting himself on statements here lately. But, you know, I don't like being on the outside or the inside in a race because it seems like the horse always breaks that open area. But with that being said, good horses, great horses that have run as many times as Medina Spirits, that really doesn't matter. The truth is, he wanted to stay at home where it was going to be easier to keep the horse at home, run him out of his backyard, and I don't blame him for that, but might as well just step up and say it.
Timmy?
Yeah, I'm actually sitting here in Pennsylvania at Parks and kind of crazy out here. The mummers are running around getting ready for the big day, and it's good for the Parks people down here. During the week, I talked to Bob, and Bob actually called me when the day after the draw. Because when I talked to him on Monday, right after the draw, he just didn't sound like he was real happy. He was at Keeneland, but he said it didn't sound like he was real happy with the draw. And I've known him long enough that I don't know if he thought the Bear could win this race with all the others. I don't know if he thought he got enough out of the Shared Belief. So I think he wants, like Dale said, he wants to stay home. He's going to run in the Linden Year In. And I guess if he wins the Awesome Again, it's a win in Year In. He's got to let him go in the Breeders' Cup, right?
Yeah, where does that go, Dale? Are they're still debating whether they're going to allow Bob Baffert to even run in the Breeders' Cup?
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this case in New York. And history is that if a person's ruled off at one track, they're ruled off at all racetracks. So that's why it's important for Bob, at least, to win this thing in New York or keep it going for as long as he can, because it's not just a matter of New York ruling him off. If that gets upheld, then he won't be able to run anywhere. I don't know. Everything around Baffert right now is controversial and up in the air.
All right.
With
that being said, I consider him
a friend, and I hope the best for him.
Timmy, go ahead.
I love dealing with Bob. He's always been great with me. I mean, I love dealing with Bob. He's always been great. And I'm wondering, all these people that are on the Breeders' board, and he trains for a bunch of them too. How's that going to?
Yeah, I can't see him keeping him out of the Breeders' Cup if nothing's done in New York yet, which it probably won't be done by then. I mean, and nobody should. He hasn't been proven guilty of anything. I don't think he should have been kicked off Churchill properties. I don't think anything should have been. No penalty should be in place until a man has his time, his day in court, to plead his side. So, and if he goes and he's proven to be wrong, go on with it.
I thought that Churchill really jumped the gun Churchill jumped the gun when they suspended him for 2 years. I mean, he's done a lot for that track. I mean, you got to give the guy the benefit of the doubt until everything everything comes out, don't you? I mean, isn't there a due process? Isn't that something that should happen?
That's always been my theory. I mean, I've been vocal about that. I'm not defending Bob. I'm not defending a bad test, but I will defend his right to have due process and at least get to tell his side of the story.
Dale's coming at it from a trainer perspective too, right? So, Dale, this could happen to any trainer in any race, any day of the week. Just so happened that this was the race, the Kentucky Derby, that this occurred.
That's my problem with the whole thing. I mean, it could happen to me tomorrow. If they decide they don't like you, they don't like something you said in the press, and they just bar you from the racetrack. And you're dealing with multi-million-dollar businesses here. This is not mom-and-pop stuff that they can just yank away from you because they decide they don't like you before you've even got to have your day in court. Timmy, where are you? All that noise in the background.
Question. I'm at Parks.
Are you at the track kitchen? You having breakfast?
Yeah, you need to find a quieter spot.
I'm trying. I've been walking all over this track, and there's no... Everybody's
walk outside.
I got to tell everyone to shut up.
Right, tell them to quiet down. We're trying to put a show on here.
These trucks going around.
All right. You only know we're going to do this for a week, Tim.
I need you to tell them what to do.
All right.
Here we go. We're going to move on to topic number two.
I'm going to hide in the bathroom.
Right.
There you go. Wherever you got to be, Timmy, we'll move on to topic number two here. Okay, over the past 10 years, I went back and looked this up. You've had 4 3-year-olds who have won the Breeders' Cup Classic. You had Authentic, Arrowgate, American Pharoah, and Bayern. Two of them competed in the Travers during their summer campaigns. You had one who went in the Haskell and one in the Pennsylvania Derby. So I'm going to ask you guys, which of these big three races is the best Breeders' Cup prep race? And Timmy, let's start with you.
Bayern also ran. He ran in the Travers and finished the favorite, I believe. I'm going to be partial, of course, because I'm going to say Travers, because I'm a Saratoga guy. Travers has always been the best. This thing I think is better for the Breeders' Cup, in my opinion. Dale, you you're a trainer. You know more about this than me, but from a standpoint, I'm thinking that the Travers is the better race for horses heading to the Breeders' Cup, because after you run that race, you can run one more time. Or go to the Pennsylvania Derby, you're probably pretty much not going to run again. And the Haskell thing is way, way too early. So my thing would be the Travers.
Well, I would agree with you, Timmy. I think if you run, I like the pattern running Haskell Travers, just like American Pharoah did. You go Haskell, Travers, and then on to the Breeders' Cup. If you run in the Pennsylvania Derby, you don't have an option of running back, and you're going to have a big gap between your two previous races. And if you run in the Haskell, you can't wait all the way till the Breeders' Cup. But if you run in the Travers, you've got options. You've still got time enough. If you think your horse needs to run one more time, you can find a spot. If you want to just train into the race like American Pharoah did, you can do that. So yeah, you'd have to say the best one set by itself, not looking at patterns, would have to be the Travers.
Yeah, well, and history proves that too. Two of the 4 3-year-olds to win the Classic came from the Travers, so that the history proves itself there too. All right, move on. Topic number three. This one is interesting to me. I want to make sure we get to it. This past week, former NIRA president and CEO Charlie Hayward wrote an article that appeared on his Thoroughbred Racing Commentary, and the title of his article was "Very Few Are Aware Just How Much Cheating There Is in Racing. Let's Fix It Now Before We Lose It." And Hayward makes reference to the March 9th article, which appeared on the Blood Horse, titled "One Year After the Indictments, Cheaters Still Prosper." All right, Dale, I'll start with you. Do you agree or disagree that racing failed to make significant and impactful changes in this area over the past year or so?
They always get caught in the end. You can't stay ahead of it. And who knows what's going on there? I was pretty naive when all the stuff went down with the FBI. I didn't think there was that much stuff going on. But I hear that there's more indictments to come and there's more people going to be collected. It's all hearsay. But, you know, it doesn't matter what business it is. When there's a lot of money on the table, someone's trying to take an edge. And the edge usually starts before you know the police can come along and catch it. You don't know what you're looking for until it gets there.
So how does the sport of racing combat that?
Well, I think they took a huge step in starting this federal board that's going to have some high-powered detectives work and the most sensitive testing. But like I said, the criminals are always ahead of the cops. It's always going to be like that no matter what you're in. But you will get caught eventually. And I think that getting caught in this bus, everybody says it's a blackout of racing. Well, I think it's not a blackout of racing because it proves that we're working hard to catch them. And that a lot of them got caught, and the more of them to come to get caught will get caught. And see, if nobody ever got caught doing anything, then you would think they're getting away with something and nobody's working at it. I think the industry's doing a lot, and it's come a long ways in testing and how to oversee and track what medications end up on the backside and inside of horses. And there's a big difference, too, people need to realize. It gets muddled sometimes about true therapeutic medications that everyone can use that are legal to have on a horse and actual cheating for medications that have no purpose of helping a horse be healthier. And those are the ones we need to look for now. There's the blood dopings and that kind of stuff. But whether it's bicycling, NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, everyone's always looking for an edge, and we need to just work hard to make sure that everything's even and we all play on the same field.
Everything he said is right. I'm looking at some of these cases that have come up, and because of the appeal process, they can go right back to work. It's happened. And, I mean, I think if someone rules someone off, they should be off. That's the decision. Why are they allowed to come back after doing something like that? That's kind of a black eye with racing, and almost like, well, yeah, I could do something wrong. I'm going to go back and train tomorrow. I just don't understand why it takes so long with the appeal process. And again, I'm not a lawyer. I never want to be a lawyer. I'd be a bad lawyer. I just don't understand why it takes so long for something to happen.
Well, the reason it takes so long is to make sure that you got it right and you don't have an innocent person that's losing their business. It's just so you can't have it both ways. We both just agreed that Baffert deserves due process, as everyone does. And even though it might seem like a long time in the big picture, horse racing, notice sport in America, it's really not that long a time, and they end up being gone after their appeals are exhausted.
But the example I'm going to bring up, Dale, is the Linda Rice situation in New York. It was a fire. Nothing. I mean, but they had the long trial and came out with a ruling, I think it was 5-0 in favor of suspending her for, what was it, 3 years, take away her license, but then she's still training.
Her suspension will.
That's able to happen.
Because it's in America, and you get the right to have fresh set eyes looking at anybody's case, but at the end of the day, her 3 years are coming. And she knows it, and it may not be back after the end of those 3 years. So it's not – I believe in appeals process. I believe in having fresh eyes look at things. And but at the end of the day, you're going to do your time if you did wrong.
All right, well, there you go. That is topic number three. Let's move on to the fourth topic here. I knew that would be a good one. Topic number four, Wednesday it was announced that two-time Eclipse champion Montemoy Girl was going to be retired from racing after sustaining an injury in her gallop on Tuesday morning. She retires with 14 wins from 17 career starts and earnings of more than $4.7 million. Exactly half of her wins, 7, came in grade ones. Our sport has been blessed with some incredible fillies over the years. How is history going to remember Montemoy Girl? Timmy, let's go with you.
I think you'd have to be insane if you didn't think that she's one of the best stackers of all time. I mean, she won the Breeders' Cup this year, only other. I believe there's three others, Royal Delta, Beholder, Viacol, but on that. I mean, she was a horse that always showed up. She was a horse that had a lot of charisma. I mean, she was popular. She checked every box. I mean, I think that she's going to go down. I mean, she should be in the Hall of Fame, obviously. And, you know, it's good that she's retired.
In my opinion, great mare, handled perfectly by Brad, had a great, great career. I just can't put her in the same class with Zenyatta or Steve's filly. I can't think of her name right now. Help me here, Turf Rider.
Rachel Alexander.
Rachel Alexander. It's hard for me to put her in the class with those two. In my lifetime, is watching mares run. Those two stand out head and shoulders above the rest. But great mare, handled perfectly, deserves a Hall of Fame.
Yeah, no doubt she'll be there one day. Again, $4.7 million in earnings, 14 of 17 lifetime. She was simply sensational. All right, one final question. And, Timmy, I know you're having some connectivity issues, so not sure how much you can chime in on this one, but I'll start with you first, that it is National Quesadilla Day, and it is also National Ghost Hunters Day today. So two opposite ends of the spectrum. I'm going to ask you guys, which of these would you be most excited to participate in, National Quesadilla Day or National Ghost Hunters Day? Timmy, what do you think?
That's a slam dunk for me. National Ghost Hunter Day, because I want to.
Oh, come on now.
You believe me?
No.
He was brave. You saw a ghost?
I saw a ghost. It was in my house.
What did it look like?
Yes, I did. I saw a ghost in my house. It was a white specter wearing a suit. I can't cat going crazy, came out in the living room, and there it was. I want to go hunt for some goats. I don't care about quesadillas. I want to hunt for some goats.
I want to go ghost hunting to build up an appetite. I want to go ghost hunting, build up my appetite, and eat a bunch of quesadilla.
How many quesadilla do you think you could put down in one sitting, Dal?
I think I don't know, but I'd like to have a contest. I like a good quesadilla. But what I really want is whatever Timmy was on when he saw that ghost.
I'll tell this story next time. I don't think we have enough time now. It's a good, long story, man. It's true.
Yeah,
I might be a ghost hunter myself.
Right. Well, that sounds like the ghost was hunting you.
He never came back, though. It was maybe it was a ghost that was ticked off about my picks. I don't know. But he was there.
All right. Good stuff. You upped your game this week. Better questions. Thank you.
Hey, later, Dale. Next week, I asked, they answered, Dale Romans and Tim Wilkin. Timmy, appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you, Mike. It's always a pleasure.